Good morning. Welcome to Dayton Mennonite. Please stand and worship with us. Our first song is Mighty to Save. Compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. By grace I am redeemed, by grace I am restored, and now I freely walk into the arms of Christ my Lord. May that be our prayer this morning.
Song. Bye.
may be seated.
Good morning. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that way. I think you're allowed to do this throughout the year, but normally we just do it on one Sunday, and I'm not sure but why, but the Lord has risen. Amen. How great is our God. This morning, the offering is for the roof project. If you have been observing it at all, you notice that there is a new roof going on the building. We need about $30,000 to $35,000 to complete the project, so we would like for that to be completed today, if possible. So add another zero onto your check. No, as God gives you the desire, feel free to give. He will provide what we need. Ushers, please come forward. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this building. I pray that it would be known as a house of worship, a house of prayer, a house where the saints and the sinners come to meet Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that even in a practical matter of the roof, that you would be at work, that you would protect the workers that are on the roof, that they would know you and experience you as they work on this project. And may your spirit rest here during this time of the roof replacement. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take out your green hymnals, the Zion's praises, if you will, and turn with me to number 447. 447 in the green hymn book, Help Me to Be Holy.
I was looking back there and I didn't see you. Philip, it is an honor to introduce to you this morning. He is one of my very best friends. I have lived with him. I have traveled with him. I have shared deeper things with him than anybody else. Well, most anybody else. It is a joy to have you here this morning with us. And may the Lord bless you as you share. Let's come before the Father in prayer. God, I pray that you would bless Philip. May he know your peace. May he express what your Holy Spirit desires us to hear this morning. May we have ears to hear what you have for us, and may you not just let us hear, but be doers of the word as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm good. Yeah. Good morning. I'm going to try a couple of new things this morning. I hear from Harold and company. All right, we're good to go. As many of you know, I grew up here, and I was just moved sitting back here and watching my son, Soren. I'll go ahead and show you him. Worshiping in a place where I would have worshiped as a little boy. He was rocking in a seat back there and singing along with you all in his own, tunes. Maybe you heard it, but it's so beautiful, and it really touched me this morning to see him worshiping here where I worshiped growing up. It's really good to be with you. It's been a few years since we've been here, so I wanted to put a picture up here of our family, my wife Betsy, and our son Soren. He's 11, and then Liam is 9, Ellen is almost 7, and Esme is 5. So we have grown up a little bit since 2 years ago when I was here. We're so honored to get to work along with you in North Africa. That's where we've been for 8 years, and you all have been praying us through. You have been praying us through. You've been giving financially for us to be there, and you know, if you didn't give finances, we couldn't be there. Like, we just couldn't be there. And if you didn't pray for us, we don't believe that our lives in ministry would have power, would have the power of God in it. And that's what we want. We don't want to be pointing to ourselves. We want to be pointing constantly to our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for partnering with us these 8 years. I want to start out this morning by kind of giving you some more pictures of more intimate pictures than we're allowed to give you in our newsletters or when we're overseas. So here is a picture of our town from a little bit of distance away. We're gonna be flying around it a little bit. And as we do that, if you have something to jot notes with, or it'd be great if you could maybe jot down some things that strike you to pray for us specifically for this morning. I'm going to be giving you a couple of ideas of what we do almost every week. Like this week, on this day, where I'm usually doing this thing. And so like you could think about us on that day, me or my wife, and pray for us. We would really love it. So here's another, that same view from Google Earth, and we're going to fly you into our town a little bit, and I'm going to show you a couple of things and then before we get into the word this morning. Here's our house and neighborhood in North Africa. That is exactly where we live. So you can pray over our neighborhood. If we scoot back a little bit from it, we find a friend. Liam's friend and Betsy's friend live right there. The woman is a shepherd's wife, and she lives out there with her little kids, and they get to go just walk. They walk from our house out through the fields to that house and spend time there. So you could pray for that house. I take you a little bit outside of our town to a dairy farm, where there's a family that I visit almost every Wednesday. So if you think about praying for me on a Wednesday, I'll be interacting with this beautiful family out here on the edge of our town. And just have so many beautiful interactions. I pick up milk from him. So he milks the cows, and I get some fresh milk for our family and sometimes for our neighbors as well. We've built so many good relationships over the year with him and his wife and his kids. And just are praying into that, you know, a lot. For God to do transforming work in their family and bring them to know him. So you can pray for me on Wednesdays there. I'm going to zoom back into town a little bit here now. Mm-hmm. On this edge of town, you'll see it says Open Air Market. We have an Open Air Market every Tuesday. People come from all over the region and meet in that kind of open area there on the edge of town. And it's packed. It looks empty in this picture, but on Tuesdays, if they took the same picture, it would look completely different. Be packed with people from all over the region. You see the mountains beyond our town. They're coming from there. They're coming in, and they're gathering, and they're selling, buying and selling. And so I also go there on Tuesdays, every Tuesday, and get basically our vegetables and fruits for the whole week. But more importantly, I get to interact with almost the same people every week. So I go to my same vegetable sellers and build relationships that way. And it's a really beautiful thing to do that. I'm going to show you a picture of one of my friends in a little bit when we get back to the PowerPoint. But yeah, every Tuesday, if you think of us on a Tuesday, that's where I'll be. Another thing that happens on Tuesdays is my wife Betsy teaches English. She teaches to some kids in the evenings, and so right in that building there, she's teaching children like after school to learn English. So you can think about her on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's what she'll be doing. You pray for wisdom for her, for chances to share with them, and just blessing over their times together. The police station and the mosque you can see out here. Oh, it's not zooming over there, but that's okay. The great mosque. I wonder when I was back when we had just moved to our town. We came here and I asked for prayer for our neighborhood because there was a Quranic school in our neighborhood, and I asked for people to pray over that. You know that you know God's will would be done in our neighborhood, and you know maybe. Maybe if it even closed down. And you know what? That closed down. I don't know what happened. I still don't know the story, but that is gone. It is no longer in our neighborhood. There's no Quranic school there. So pray over this mosque. You know, who knows what could happen there? Who knows what people are coming, you know, seeking God and wanting to pray, but then meeting Jesus. I don't know how often that happens. You know, only the people who are experiencing that know. So pray for that. Those kind of things to happen, for transformation, for... you know, for imams to come to know Jesus. And final one I want to fly you over here to is our guest house. We have a little guest house that doubles as our office. We have an English teaching business, and that's what Betsy's teaching through. But we can also host people there. So if you want to come visit us, you are welcome to come and stay in our guest house. I'm going to go back to the PowerPoint now here. Take a drink of water. I wanted to talk to you about hoping against all hope. Do you guys know that was from the Bible? Hoping against all hope. I was like, that sounds familiar. I was reading the passage I'm going to read to you this morning. I was like, well, that's a phrase we use a lot. But what is it? Comes from the Bible. So I'm going to talk about what it means to hope against all hope in our context. Here's our hallway. Come into our house and be with us. It says the Rhodes family there. You could hang your coat if it's a cold day and spend some time with us. I'm going to show you a couple of pictures that I mentioned. This is on our street. They're two lovely women that we know. And here they are cleaning the wheat, their wheat, picking out impurities after they have dried it on the ground. And so our daughter's there helping, and my wife Betsy. And the woman in the blue jacket is a special educator for our son, and she lives just right next door. So she was also helping out. Here's that... the dairy farmer that I mentioned, he's got if you can see that machine, he had just bought that, and it's a one cow milker, and it goes around on a wheel. So he was really happy to have a machine to do what he had been hand milking for, his wife mostly, 8 cows. And so now they could use a machine, and it was suddenly much more efficient. And that's in the center is a really good friend of mine and teammate. Who was helping him and knows cows very well. He's a dairy farmer in upstate New York. Here's my friend from the market. You can pray for him. I'm not going to tell you his name because we have to be really careful about names on the live feed this morning, but he greets you. The last day I was at the Sukk, he said, greet your parents for me and greet your brother and your sister and your friends. Just greet everybody. So this man greets you. He's a very good friend. I see him every week, and he's holding a potato there. You can barely see it. It's in the shade, but it's about as big as his head. Amazing. Let me jump in here now to this passage that's been blessing me. I was getting ready to speak about a few weeks ago, and I was reading this passage in Romans, and it really struck me because I started to read it through my friend's eyes, and I'm going to call him Ahmed this morning. And so I want to introduce you to him, and then we'll read it together again through his eyes and what he might see as he reads it. My friend Ahmed had been an agnostic for a lot of his young adult years. He realized that there was something not quite right about Islam, that it didn't ring true for him, and he had resisted Islam. But he was wondering, where is the truth? What is the truth? He still wanted to know what was true. And so he would do these searches online, and eventually he came to these North African Christian groups on Facebook. And he started having interactions with them, and then he found an ad where you could do a Bible study. And so he started jumping into this Bible study just out of curiosity. And the more he did it, the more he realized this is true. Like this is real. These are living words. And so he did it. He completed this Bible study. And then the people who run that website reached out to him and said, "Hey, are you interested in meeting somebody face to face?" And he said, "Yes, definitely. I would love that." He had also, at this point, already had an experience with Jesus and had become a Christian. He had committed his life to Jesus. And so then they reached out to me, knowing that I lived in his town, and they said, "Would you like to meet a guy who's following Jesus?" And I said, "Yeah," hesitating. You might say, "Yes, definitely, you should do that." But let me tell you, it was a scary thing. Why? Because for him, it could be scary because he has to trust me. You know, if he meets somebody and says, "I'm a Christian," it's a huge deal in this context. You know, if I wasn't faithful with that knowledge and I shared it around, he could be persecuted for that. It could have huge ramifications for his life. If the wrong person found out or had the wrong information. And me, why was I scared? Well, because if he is actually posing as a Christian, if he's not sincere, and I have no way of knowing without meeting him, then he could turn me in. He'd be like, "This guy is trying to get people to follow Jesus." And then my whole life gets completely turned over. I get kicked out of the country. My life is turned upside down. So that's not something to take lightly either, right? But we both had to take a risk, and we did. And praise God, we've both have since met many times together to encourage each other, to read and discuss the New Testament, to pray and sing and worship together. I even took my guitar and started just randomly playing a worship song that he made up in Arabic, in his language. It was beautiful, beautiful time. So I want to read this with him in mind and tell you some things that jumped out at me because of that. Romans 4, starting at 17, a little partway through, B through 5:5. It's talking about Abraham, so I'm filling in the first word here. Abraham is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, here we go, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Back to hope again. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I love the very first line there. Our God is the one who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Christ is risen. Micah says we can say it whenever we want. So, Christ is risen. Oh, yes. And for Ahmed, he was dead. He knows he was dead without Jesus. We all were. And Jesus gave him life. He was called into being as a believer in Jesus. God did this. God gets all the glory. The next thing that got me was against all hope. Again, the title for the sermon, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. This is a good description of the kind of hope we have where we live, because there are, in the people group we're trying to reach, it's 4 million people, and there are about 25 of us adults right now working together in the whole region. So those are some crazy odds, right? This sounds impossible. It sounds impossible, and it is. Except that it says in verse 20, we are fully persuaded, or Abraham was, so we should be like him, that God has power to do what he has promised. His promise to us is that he will bring people to himself from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All right, Psalm 22, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. For Ahmed, he waits in hope, not just for, you know, all the people in his country, but also for his family. When he told his mom that he was a Christian, she sobbed. She was so, so sad, so disappointed that her son would become a Christian, would turn his back on Islam. His uncle showed him what it means to suffer. When he told his uncle flipped the table in rage that his nephew would choose to follow Jesus. But he says, you know, they know he's a different person. With Jesus inside him, he's a different man. He's a changed person. And so we can pray along with him that they will also be changed by his faith and his experience. And the last thing from this passage I want to share is, it's all about Jesus. Did you notice that? Isn't it always? It was all about Jesus. If you have any questions about that, keep reading and reading and reading in Romans, because the end of chapter 5, it just keeps coming back in circles back to Jesus. And for us, that's true too. It's all about his death and resurrection. It saves us. It gives us peace. It makes us friends of God. In the New Living Translation, verse 11 translates, we become friends of God. And that's an amazing thing, especially if you're coming from a religion where God doesn't seem so friendly. And some of us maybe grew up with some images of God that weren't so friendly either. And so we have to be reminded of this as well. Jesus, God is our friend because of Jesus, what he's done for us. So that might seem obvious to us that Jesus' death and resurrection brings about salvation. But this is a New Testament in Arabic, and in our specific kind of Arabic in our country, which I'm not going to say the name of. And it is, to a Muslim looking at this book, they think, okay, well, our teachers tell us that this book is good, has some good stuff in it, but it's corrupted. And so, you know, the Christians have made it something that shouldn't be. It was good at one time, but it was corrupted. So is it a book of corruption, of lies, or does it hold truth? And I think one of the greatest miracles that we've been seeing around us and in our lives and among our friends is the miracle of openness to this book. It is so, so exciting when anyone just takes the chance to look into this book and ask questions and go there, because what they find is amazing. We have a dear friend. Actually, it was the guy who was pictured earlier, if you remember, in the dairy barn, the teammate. And he's learning right now Arabic using this book. So this is one of the best tools. Actually, the Bible itself is one of the best tools for learning the language in our country. And so he has his teacher read it with him to help him, you know, understand what's going on. And they've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and just she's week after week of this. And finally she says, "Fiha kushi, fiha kushi. In this thing is everything." In this book is everything. She was so amazed. She's like, this why is Jesus is talking about such relevant things for humanity, for human lives? I think she was so surprised to find that this book is living. It's beautiful. It was touching her and maybe even changing her. We're praying for her. This is a huge contrast to, you know, their a holy book that they have, which feels more aloof. It's hard to engage with. It's not even in their local language like this book is. And so most of them, when they hear it read, they don't understand. They don't know what it's saying until someone explains it to them. So it can't really, as 2 Timothy 3 says, it can't really be useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Because they can't understand it. It could be if it were in their language, maybe, like this one is. So it's powerful. I may have shared this story before, but this man pictured here runs a corner store in our little neighborhood, and our son Soren has a special connection with him. He loves him so much. Every time he sees him, he runs up and does something like this, gives him a hug and maybe even a kiss. But one day I was coming by his shop as he was closing up, and Soren was there, ran up and grabbed him, and he said, "Are you going to your home? I'll come with you. I'll carry him." So he picks up Soren and goes to our home. And he comes inside, I'm going to make him coffee, and he sits down across from our nativity scene. It's near Christmas, and we make a nativity scene every Christmas and put it up on our wall, the different pictures. And he said, "What is that?" And I said, "Oh, that's the story of Jesus' birth. Do you know that story?" And he's like, "No." I said, "Oh, well, let's read it." So I went and got this book, and brought it to him, and turned it to Luke 2. And he read it out loud to me, and it was amazing. It was so beautiful. He hadn't ever read anything in his language before, like in his mother tongue, I think. And so he would read like a couple of verses and be like, you hear what this says? And he would translate it to me, like back in his language again. I was like, I know, isn't that great? it was beautiful. But I think he was just really moved to just hear it in his own language and hear this story. And it was the first time he's ever heard about the birth of Jesus. I want to tell you one more story like this. I felt like I should share these stories with you because maybe you read your Bibles, and maybe sometimes you get tired of reading your Bibles, but this is a beautiful book, and it encourages me that I'm experiencing these stories, that I'm hearing them. I remember, I think this is you, Leon Rhodes, when I was, are you with Gideon, or you were with Gideon's? I remember you telling a story when I was a little boy of somebody throwing a Gideon's Bible through the car window of somebody near them. That impressed me. I still remember it. But I remember being impressed as a kid at the work of the Gideons, how much they loved the Bible. And I wanted to have a love like that for it. And these stories help me do that, you know, as I'm experiencing people reading this book for the first time. I had this is another dear friend of mine. And here he is with some skeptical daughters of mine, hoping he'll make a pretty picture in the woods for them. We've been friends for probably 5 years, and he came out to our town, and he was visiting us here, and one time we were talking, and it was something he said reminded me of the scripture, so I pulled him out on my phone. I didn't have a book with me, and we were reading it, and he was like, "You really love this book, don't you? You remind me of my dad. My dad is a really religious person who really loves God." And he said, "Could I get that book in a book?" So I was like, "Yes, you can." Now, unfortunately, I've been trying to track one down because they're harder to get than you might think. But I have one for him now in my house. And when I get back, I'm going to take him a gift from Virginia, and I'm going to take him the Bible, and I'm going to give them to him so that he can read it. He's a really wonderful young man and just has a sensitive heart towards God. And I really, really hope for him. I want to share just one more thing with you in closing. What are we hoping for in our specific town? Well, I'm glad you asked, because it's a really exciting time. Literally right before we got an airplane and came here, we were meeting people who were seekers. This is the first time in our 5 years living in our town where we've had people who want to know about Jesus, who want to read the Bible, And it has been blowing us away. There was this one young woman who was my wife Betsy was reaching out to, and so they went and met at a coffee shop, cafe. And when the woman came, she came with a man too, which really kind of surprised Betsy. But she's like, okay. And they sat down at this cafe, and she was like, so you're interested? What do you want? I think that's how she ended. What do you want? And they said, we want to know about Jesus. Can you tell us about Jesus? And she said, yes. Do you know how hard this will be, like entering the way of Jesus, what you're asking, you know, to start on the road of? And they said, yes, we do. And we want to know. And when I heard Betsy tell that story, she came back. She did, by the way. She faithfully told them the good news about Jesus. When she came back and told me, I remembered being here 2 years ago, because what I was sharing about was the centurion. Maybe some of you remember that. I was talking about the centurion and how Holy Spirit had to work to bring the centurion and Peter together, and then the transformation that happened. Suddenly, like, there's a room full of people listening to Peter tell the gospel, and I was praying at that time and asking you to pray that that would happen in our lives, that Betsy and I and our team would be ready for these kind of moments. And they're happening. That's immediately what I thought of when these people sat down and said, will you tell us about Jesus? Like, the Holy Spirit is working there. And so it's so exciting. They also said, can you give us a book? We really, really want a book, the Bible. And since that first meeting, we had them come to our house and we gave each of them a book. So pray for them. They're probably reading it now. And who knows what they're finding. We pray that they're finding the Savior of the universe. They're reading about Jesus. Our hope for our town is that, you know, this young man, Ahmed, that I described to you, he's a believer already. He's an evangelist. He loves God so much. He wants everyone to know. And that's wonderful. We should all be like that. But he has it in spades. So he could be, you know, the key leader that we want. And these other seekers could come around him. Who knows? Maybe there's a church in our near future in our town. And we are just praying for that. So pray along with us, please. Just a couple of weeks ago, this friend Ahmed sent me a message and said, I was baptized yesterday. I wanted you to know. I hope you're fine. I was baptized yesterday. And I said, Naha Kabir, this is a big day. A local person, a leader in the church, a local man, had come and met with him, and they had taken a hike together, found a spring, and he was baptized. So just please pray for Ahmed and these people who are seeking. Pray for a church to start in our town. This would be a dream come true. This would be a hope against hope coming true, because God has promised this. And so thank you again for partnering with us. I want to pray. God, you've got to do this. We can't. This is impossible. But you are the God of impossible things. You are a promiser. And we see things that you say coming into being. We see life coming from death. We see Ahmed coming to you. We see these seekers who are longing for truth. And we ask that you would answer their prayer with Jesus. Jesus, come, be near them. And God, give us, Betsy and I and our family, our dear teammates, give us wisdom as we work together with these young people. Give us wisdom to know where to start, where to begin, and to faithfully share the hope that we have within us too, that you've given us. Thank you, God, so much for this body here. Pray for them to be faithful to you in their callings, in their lives. Pray that they would love your book, love your good word, and love, you, God, as their Savior, their Lord, their friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Philip, for sharing from the Word, sharing from your experience. It's a powerful stories. If you would, take out your red hymnals and turn with me to 592. The song is titled Stand Up for Jesus, so let's stand up. 592 in the Mennonite hymnal.
Oh.
Thank you, Philip, for bringing the word. It caused me to reflect on us here. Would you consider your love level for the book? How often do I see my Bible sitting there on the shelf and neglect it? Not that reading the Bible out of religious spirit is going to cause any growth in my life, but what is my gravitation toward? Do I desire? Do I want? Am I hungry for the things of God? Thank you for that challenge of those who don't know God and are hungering and challenging my own hunger for Jesus and his work in my life. There are a number of announcements this morning that I want to make you aware of. Communion is next week, so we invite you, if you have been baptized and you believe in Jesus Christ, to come and join the body next week in communion together as we reflect on the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Next Sunday night as well is testimony night, and we are looking forward to that. There will be finger foods, so please bring some. That event starts at 6:30. At 6:30 next Sunday night will be testimony night. The Sunday, let me make sure I get the date right. On July 30, listen up for this announcement for sure. You're going to be lonely here at church. On July 30, we, on Sunday morning, will be having church service at Webb Park. It will begin at 10 o'clock there. There won't be any Sunday school. 10 o'clock, Webb Park. If you're new, you don't know where Webb Park is, feel free to ask someone. We have met there many times. Leon Rhodes is going to be bringing the message to us, so we're excited about that. But there will also be fellowship meal that Sunday. The church is providing hot dogs and hamburgers and the buns and such with that. So please bring a side dish to go along with that. That is on July 30th. And one other plug, if you are new to this church and you see this announcement, Highland Retreat, August 25 through 27, and you're wondering what it is one of the greatest times in church life of the church. And it is an opportunity for you to get to know the congregation, your brothers and sisters here better. Highland Retreat is back 259 out of Broadway, and we all go back there and spend the weekend together. And if you have questions, I'm just kind of putting a plug in if you don't know what it is, but if you have questions about what that means, what it looks like, please ask anyone here as well, and you'll probably get good direction on that. Are there any other announcements that I'm missing? Okay, I will lead in a prayer, and then I will invite Lois following that to come forward as we take her into membership. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are alive and present. You are a God that has relationship with us through Jesus Christ. That is a powerful wonder that you sent your Son to make right our sin before you, that you poured out on him the punishment for us all, and that Jesus paid the price for our sin. Jesus, we claim you, we proclaim you as King this morning of our lives. We praise you. We prostrate ourselves before you in worship. Father, I thank you for this body of believers. I ask, Father, that we would serve you, that we would know you, that we wouldn't keep silent, that we would be like Philip's friend who cannot keep silent because you have worked in his life, and that creates a desire to tell others of the change that can happen for them as well. Father, we confess often we get so busy, we get so complacent, we become so calloused. Break through that, Lord. Convict us of that. May we be quick to speak of what you had done for us. And Father, for those here this morning that do not know you, I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak in a way that each one here this morning can understand your calling in their life. Give us ears to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, as we, as a church, continue to desire to follow you, we put before you our children, our youth. We ask, Father, that we would raise up a generation here that are proclaimers, that do not sit back on the sidelines, but are quick to go into the battle for Jesus Christ. Protect them, Lord, from the evil one who desires to create doubt and despair. I pray for those young people and older ones among us, Lord, that struggle with depression, discouragement. I pray that you would break through and that your good news would be proclaimed into their life this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lois, I invite you to come forward. It has been a joy to get to know Lois throughout phone calls. It's mostly been over phone that I have met you and I know you, and I'm excited to hear what the Lord has done in your life and what you have for us this morning as you become a member here at Dayton.
Good morning, fellow followers of our faithful Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. I am grateful for many years of having known him and seeking to live as a disciple of his. First, I would like to share words of a song. I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew it was not I. He moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, I was found of thee. In Philippians 3 are several verses that have been my motto of life since I was college age. Philippians 3:10 begins it, and then I will end with verse 14. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering in growing conformity with his death. I press toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Being born prematurely, spending the first 6 weeks of my life in the hospital, and being born with attention deficit disorder did not get my almost 80 years of life off to an easy start. But even ADHD has become a blessing because it has kept me daily saying, "Help me, God." He helps. I thank him. And this keeps me in close touch with God. So I can even thank him now for what took me a long time to say thank you. Many times I am told people raised in godly homes cannot name the exact spiritual birthday of theirs. That has been true of me also. From earliest memory, it was my desire to obey my parents. I wanted to obey God too, but I felt sad at my imperfection. At age 9, I responded to an invitation at Mount Pleasant Mennonite Church, which in Chesapeake, which was my home congregation. I responded to the invitation to accept Christ, and I did so as best my childish heart could understand. Instruction classes followed, and baptism. Still, my growing years were filled with doubts about my salvation. If I thought I'd done pretty well at obeying God that day, I felt saved. But other days, I hadn't done so well, and so I felt lost. Obviously, there was a lot I still did not understand. Finally, in my second year of college at EMC, I threw myself on my knees one day and said, "God, I can't be good enough to please myself. How can I please you? God, I give up. But if you want me, you can have me." God took me up on that. And so today I really think of that as my real spiritual birthday. the day when I finally got it, that salvation, depends on the grace of God by the death of Jesus on the cross, never on becoming good enough to earn it. That was the day I gave up and God took over, the beginning of victorious Christian living in my life. For many years, I have lived in gratitude of God's grace that allows me to run to His arms when I sin instead of running away. The Word says that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our hearts. Indeed, I have found that He has done so. I'd like to mention three special privileges. One, when I was in high school and had Christian teachers in a public school, I sensed God calling me to become a Christian teacher in public schools. I have had 33 years of doing that. Also, I dreamed of becoming a Christian wife, and God fulfilled that dream. And finally gave me the privilege of becoming mother to two daughters and a son, and seeking to guide them in God's way. In these 80 years of God's kindness in my life, He has granted me enough success to believe that He can use even my testimony for His glory, and enough human failure to cause me to walk humbly with my God. I want to learn with you at Dayton Mennonite and from you. And I especially want to thank Willard and Eva Eberle for their many years of friendship, during which they often helped me find God's way of dealing with some of the more challenging aspects of my life. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Lois, you can stay here. I have a couple things to ask you. It has been a joy. Every time I talk to you, I leave feeling refreshed and blessed. And I'm sure that you all here do as well this morning. You can answer these questions by do if you do. We at Dayton rejoice that you've decided to become a member with us here this morning. Do you once again affirm your belief in God and trust in the sacrifice of Jesus as the only atonement for your sin? And is it your desire to grow in that belief? Can you unite with Dayton in our mission, worship, and service, being generous as you're able, and the abilities as God gives you strength? Do you seek to grow in relationship and knowledge of God? And will you grow spiritually with us, sharing joy and sorrow, love and fellowship, and willing to give and receive from the church? Is it your desire to be led by the leadership of Dayton? And are you in agreement with our theology and at peace with our statement of practice? I invite you to stand this morning as we close in prayer. Pray a blessing over Lois here as well. Father, I thank you for a sister in Christ. I thank you for her work, the work of Jesus Christ in her life. Thank you for her faithfulness to you and her testimony of not being perfect enough. That is our testimony as well, Lord. But we rest in the work of Jesus Christ as the atonement for our sin. We ask, Father, that you would go with us from here. We pray your blessing on each one here, Lord, that we would leave here changed, empowered, and encouraged, that we would have heard, and now we would go do as your Holy Spirit directs us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you all as you go. Thank you. Yeah.